Perhaps here in America, we haven't seen a yoke in a long time. And to be honest with you, I am a city boy. And even when I grew up in Vietnam, I was living in Saigon, so I didn't see a lot of the farming scene. However, whenever I visit my aunts who was living outside of Saigon and farm, I would always remember and see eye to eye, and sometimes they would allow me to ride the equipments. So a yoke would be something that you put upon an animal or a beast so that it pull the thing to cultivate the earth. And in Vietnam, we use the water buffaloes. And so we would put the yoke upon the water buffalo, and then a person would stand behind it, and then the water buffalo would pull that, and then you would cultivate the land. And so it's very important that the yoke become personalized for each animal, because if it's not padded right, what's going to happen? It's going to pull off the skin from that animal and create more injury, and it would become ineffective. So the yoke had to be personalized by the farmer for that animal, so that the animal wouldn't feel the added burden that are on top of what it's actually doing. And that's what we're doing when Jesus said, "Take upon my yoke." And here's the word that's very important, my yoke. Did Jesus said, "Take your yoke"? No, he said, "My yoke." We are sharing that same burden with Jesus Christ. We're sharing that same yoke with Jesus Christ. And perhaps many of you who go to daily mass have heard me said this before. At my seminary down in Houston, there's an image underneath the stained glass window that represents the order of the priesthood of a picture of a yoke. One side is a darker color, yellow, and the other side is a lighter color of yellow. And that yoke signified, even though one yoke and underneath it, it's two sub or smaller yokes, the underneath. And that's what it means. Jesus is giving us his own instrument of burden so that we are not alone. Jesus didn't say, if you follow me, there will be no burden. He didn't say that. He said, take my yoke upon you, and the burden will become light. Jesus tells us as Christians, and I think this is where a lot of us get wrong. We think that if we just believe enough, and if we just do things enough, things are supposed to be all right. But Jesus didn't say, if you believe in me, there will be no burden. He just said, take upon my own yoke, and the burden will become light. Jesus is with us in our own burden, our own trials, our own suffering, our own path of life. And this is what's important, my brothers and sisters. Oftentimes we think that God has abandoned us when things go wrong. I still remember the days when I did hospital chaplaincy. Especially, I still remember that the July 4th weekend is always a bad time to be on call. So many accidents and so many mishaps. So let us remember to keep all of our first responders and people who are working at the hospital in our prayers right now. But it's so hard to see so much tragedy and hurt at those moments. And when I was visiting the patients, they would say, oh, I'm in here because I didn't believe enough. I didn't trust Jesus enough. And somehow, the lack of belief or the lack of trust is the result of whatever going on in their lives right now. If everything is boiled down to that simple equation, then we have boiled down God's infinite mercy and his love for us. What's beautiful is that we have heard that true joy isn't a lack of troubles, but we heard in the collect today as well as through all the reading, rejoice Jerusalem, that the Lord hath come to save you, that we are saved from the yoke of slavery to sin, that we have the freedom to live as sons and daughters of God, and this is our joy. And of course, even living in joy, there will be burdens for us to carry. That's part of life. We can never escape the burden. We can never escape the trials. We can never escape the suffering. But what's beautiful is that once we recognize that Jesus is with us, even in our hardest days, we know that we're not alone, and He is carrying us along. This is the foundation of our hope, is that whatever we do isn't the definition of who we are. Oftentimes, as Americans, we think that, oh, we need to do something to get something. And then we depend our relationship with God, with what we do and what He can do for us. It's never about God. God doesn't care about doing. He cares about being. We have the freedom to be children of God, to be sons and daughters of God, and to be brothers and sisters to each other. We're not judged with what we can do alone, but how we are, how we be, how we love, and how we abide in His love. I'll share with you one episode in my own priesthood that defined me. This episode made me very helpless. I'm usually okay when I have to deal with death of an older person. And this happened when I was a newly ordained priest, and I got a call from the Denton Police Department. Said, "Pastor, we need you out here, ASAP, stat." So they gave me the address, and I showed up. And all of the officers are outside, so I know immediately it got to be something bad. So I went in, and I saw a lifeless infant. And my heart just dropped. And I was trying my best to control myself not to cry, you know? And then I turned to the other room and I see a crying, devastating mother. She was just going to the restroom for a short time and the baby suffocated from the blanket. I can't imagine the shame and the guilt she must have felt and the pain that's there as well. And what can I do at that moment to take away that pain of a suffering mother or my own inability to do something? Nothing. I felt so helpless. I felt so defeated. I felt like I cannot be a good priest to that person and to that child. I just stood there and I prayed in silence. I said, "Lord, I ask that you be with this family in ways that I cannot." And come time for the funeral of that child, it's too small to have his own casket. And that day it was pouring rain. It was raining cat and dog. Pouring rain. And after the funeral, I can only be there with the family. And it came time when, if you ever gone to any graveside with me, I always inter the casket. And since that child is too small, all the funeral directors all looked at me. They couldn't put that child down to the ground because water was coming up. So I said, "I'll do it." I took that lifeless child and I put his body down to the ground. And my heart sobbed. It stunk. And in that moment of helplessness, I said, Lord, what can I do as a priest? And to be honest with you, it took a lot of time for me to pray about that one incident. That one incident saved me from my own arrogance. My own thinking that somehow, as a young priest, I have the answer to everything. That I can do everything. That I can change the church. No, the church doesn't need changing. Our society doesn't need changing. There's no way that I can save anybody. Heck, I can't even save myself. And the only thing that we can depend on time of tragedy and helplessness is that the Lord is with us. And I truly believe that the Lord was with us because he was able to console and be present to us in ways that I cannot, beyond the words that I can say. My brothers and sisters, this is what it means to be Christians. That in our darkest moment of life, whatever trials we're going through, Jesus is with us, and he make our burden a little bit lighter as we take upon his yoke. I know a lot of things seem to be chaotic, and I think a lot of things seem to be out of our control right now, and it's so easy to give up hope. But this is where tenacity come in, perseverance come in. This is when we grow in the joy of the Lord, that we don't have it all together and it's okay. We can still be joyful. We can still have hope. We can still be grounded in the Lord. It's okay. My brothers and sisters, this is what it means to be Christians. My definition of Christianity had never been of an easy one. I grew up in a church where she struggled every single day to fight against the dictatorial government, to assert her right of freedom, to truly choose to worship and to love, even in the midst of many trials. And no one give up. Yet, here in America, as soon as we see some problems comes up, we get so irritated, reactive, that we cannot be flexible in adapting to the change of time in order to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. More than ever now, we need this word, tenacity. Tenacity sometimes can be described as hard-headedness. But perhaps this is what it means to take on the yoke with the Lord Jesus Christ, the beast of burden, to plow the field, to plant the seed. And perhaps we will never see those seeds grow up. But we still have to do our work so that the seed of faith is planted everywhere we go, as we take upon ourselves the yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he is with us. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, as we celebrate Independence Day this weekend, we recognize our true dependence on God, as we take upon this yoke of hope, this yoke of love, this yoke of total dependency, humility, and meekness, like the Lord Jesus Christ, to work our best for the kingdom, allow, and the rest allowed him to be in control.